In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Blessed fast, everybody. It's good to see all of you here today. It's a beautiful day outside, too. I'm very thankful for it. You know, here on this, the first Sunday of Great Lent, I can't help but wonder how many of us in our lives have cried out to God from the sincerity of our hearts, in faith and in trusting, and only heard silence. All of us, at least, I suspect, have encountered the same deafening silence, the silence of God. And we know he's silent. If you don't believe me, just listen. And the silence does not speak to the absence of God in our lives, but instead to his humility. Because unlike us, he doesn't have to go around making posts on Instagram and Facebook and do TikTok videos to prove to everyone who he is. He doesn't have to announce himself as he walks into a room. He just is. He just exists, and he exists in his silence. He causes all things to be. He's always there, silently working, still providing, always present. God just is. And in that silence, the silence of God, he calls out to us through his creation. He calls to us from the rising sun, the beauty of the clouds and the smell of the rainstorm in the middle of summer when you walk outside, the songs of the birds and the sounds of the animals. He calls to us. And he calls to us through his creation to go beyond that creation, to not just stop with that thing that we love, that beautiful moment, that sunrise. He calls us to go beyond that, to keep going, to finally see him in his silence, quietly, lovingly, and mercifully waiting for us to come home to him. And this is where it gets hard for us. We want him to be loud in our lives. We want that road to Damascus moment. We want the sun to come down and shine on us and us to be overwhelmed. If that happens to you, God bless you. But if it doesn't, God bless you even more. Because in those moments of silence, we often are tempted to forget him entirely. And instead to worship his creation, to worship our jobs and our cars and our homes and our educations and our esteem and our this and our that. And above all, what do we worship more than anything else but our opinions? We're like Esau, who traded his birthright for something to eat. And I'll note about Esau, if you read the story, he was a very good cook, but he came in and he wanted his younger brother to cook for him. He said, "You cook something for me." So he didn't just give up his birthright for food. He gave up his birthright to be powerful over somebody else. We end up becoming like Christ as we forget God and his silence. We become like Peter and we deny him. There is no God. Or we become like Judas and we betray him for something else, for 30 pieces of silver. We become like our ancestors and we eat the forbidden fruit because God isn't there screaming in our faces. And despite all of our betrayals and denials, despite us worshiping false gods and idols and things of this world and falling down before them and giving them our time and our adoration and our attention, he still calls to us to come and see. And I tell you, my friends, that God is not some concept. He's not an idea. He's not an ideology. And he's not a feeling. How many of us have said, "I stood in my prayer corner and I felt nothing. I didn't feel the Holy Spirit." And it's in that moment when you feel him the most because he is silent. And those prayers we pray when we don't feel like praying, those are the most effective prayers you're going to ever pray. Because when it's easy, it's easy. He's not some feeling or ideology. He's not something we don't dance around and flail on the ground and do things like that. Instead, we encounter him in the image of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who became flesh for our sakes. He came down so that he might walk among us. Make no mistake, God did not. He came to be with us so we could see him. He saw us caught in this delusion of idolatry, tempted by to wander in the silence of his presence. And so he comes down, he becomes man, he walks among us. He eats with us, he cries with us. You know, he takes his time with us. We encounter him and his saints who through their icons, especially the cloud of witnesses that we are surrounded by today. We encounter him through those who have come before us, who in faith endured all sorts of trials. The 40 martyrs of Sebaste amongst probably the most predominant among them for today. And above all, we encounter him in the material of the Eucharist. We literally taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's through that materiality, the egg tempura of the icons, the paint, the mosaics, the inkjet printer ink that we print our icons out with. It's through that materiality that he starts to emerge and reveal himself silently to us. He reveals himself in his creation through the material things of this world. He leaves these little breadcrumbs to remind us, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And so we know that God in his silence reveals himself through his creation. And let us not forget that everyone here is creation. It is heartbreaking to hear people say that man is in nature. Humanity is not in nature. Humanity is nature. We are creation. We're at the top of that, and that's why what we do is so important. How we treat the rest of creation is so important because we're the kings of creation. And when humanity gets crazy, starts dropping bombs and polluting and killing and murdering, we don't just kill humans. We kill everyone else too. The deer, the bugs, the fish, the birds. We are creation. We are that materiality that was formed in his image. And just as he calls to us silently through the beauty of the rest of creation, through that sunset, through through that moment of peace that we find as we walk through nature, as we walk down a beautiful trail or just enjoy the beautiful mountains we're surrounded by. And just as we find him in that, we also find him in ourselves. Because we are made in his image. We are all icons of God. Everyone here, whether you believe or not, you're an icon of God. And as we go deep inside of ourselves and we ask ourselves, we go into the silence of our own hearts, we finally quiet ourselves down and we stop being anxious and angry and worrying and fighting and struggling and biting and kicking knees and elbows all the time. And we finally become quiet like God, then we see the image of him inside of us. And in that moment, we see that image. He does a miraculous thing. He then calls us outside of ourselves. He calls us into a state of ecstasy to reach outside of ourselves to the height of heaven. We've seen him. We've encountered him. We've seen that image. We've seen the icon of him in each one of us. And so this week, I ask each one of you here, myself included, to just exist with God. Just exist. And exist as his living icon. Just, and my friends, we have so much temptations in this, in our religion, in orthodoxy. You know, we rightly approach the chalice with the fear of God and faith and love. But then after our brother or sister receives the most precious body and blood of Christ and they become a walking chalice of God, we do not honor them with the same reverence we do with the chalice that the priest holds. And that is wrong. We venerate the icons. Glory to God. We don't desecrate them like the iconoclasts. Glory to God. How do you treat the icon of your brother and sister sitting next to you? Do you venerate them? Do you honor them? Make no mistake. They are icons. You are an icon of God. And so be that icon. Go into the world and be Christ to the world. Be that light shining in the world so that everyone looks at you and when they see you, they see Christ in you, a witness that you join that cloud of witnesses we heard about today in Hebrews. And remember that that journey of becoming Christ, being Christ to the world, begins in silence. So shut off the TV for a few minutes, or the internet, or the phone, or the radio, or whatever it is. Shut it off. Go for a walk, or sit quietly if you can't go for a walk. And listen to the silence. And in that silence, look deep inside yourself and find the living image of God in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.